How many of you have ever rowed a boat? Or how many of you have ever paddled a boat? Young people, lift your hands. Okay? How about the adults? Paddled a boat or rowed a boat? Okay? I think every hand has gone up. Today I want to tell you about some people who had very great difficulty in rowing their boat. Open your Bibles to Mark, if you will. Mark chapter 6. And while you're turning, a prayer would be something like this. Lord, bless the word as it goes forth this day. You promised it would not return void. Bless us as we look at the word and get some direction for our life regarding the boat that we are now rowing in. Jesus' name, amen. The word of God says in Mark chapter 6, Jesus, I'm reading from verse 45, at once Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of him to Bethsaida on the other side of the lake, while he sent the crowd away. After saying goodbye to the people, he went away to a hill to pray. And when evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake while Jesus was alone on land. He saw his disciples. They were straining at the oars, because they were rowing against the wind. So sometime between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning, he came to them walking on the water. He was going to pass them by, but they saw him walking on the water. It's a ghost, they thought, and they screamed. They were terrified when they saw him. Jesus spoke to them at once. Courage, he said. Courage, it's I. Don't be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind died down. And the disciples were completely amazed because they had not understood the real meaning of the feeding of the 5,000. Their minds could not grasp it. This great story of the disciples who found themselves in a boat following an experience where Jesus had just fed the 5,000. What time of the year was it? Well, it probably was springtime. It was during the Passover, perhaps, because Matthew says that he asked the disciples to sit down on the green grass. And so that's a clue as to what time of the year this story occurred. But it says that at once, go back to verse 45, at once Jesus made his disciples get into the boat. What is this at once business? It was that the press of the people were so great that Jesus had to get his disciples moved away from the people so he could get away from the people. In fact, Matthew says that he compelled them to go away. Now, why did he compel them to go away? He compelled them to go away because the people were wanting Jesus to be their king. The people said, wow, look at what has just happened. A man has fed all of these thousands of people. What would happen if he was in charge of the chow line for the king's army? If he was in charge of food, this would be great. And so people wanted Jesus to become the king. They also wanted him to be the provider. And there were other reasons why Jesus sent the people away. But one great reason was because Jesus was concerned about the situation and he did not want his disciples all caught up in the press of the people wanting to, and grabbing Jesus. And so he didn't want them to get involved in this. The situation had arisen like this. Thick and fast were coming. Now this may sound strange to you, but thick and fast were coming the problems to Jesus. Jesus was faced with some problems here. He was faced with people who were in power, who did not like him, who did not understand him. He was faced with the political hotheads who would make him a nationalistic messiah right away before time. He was faced with the hostility of the orthodox religious people of the day. Jesus was faced with these particular problems, and he wanted to get by himself so that he could ask God's will for his life. And he wanted his disciples away so they wouldn't get caught up in this dilemma that was were coming to him. And so Matthew says he compelled them. In fact, John, because Matthew, Mark, and John all tell the story, and each tell different aspects of the story. John says that Jesus took the disciples and went away, go away against their will, because he needed some time and he wanted them to have some time. Let's go to Matthew chapter 14. This is the other part of the story before we get into the boat that I'm rowing and the boat that you're rowing. In Matthew 14, it says verse 22, again, it says here, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side of the lake while he sent the people away. So we've got the disciples in the boat going across the lake. We have, and this was a pretty good sized boat, and all the men had to do some rowing to make it propel because they had no electric or gasoline powered motor. He went on the other side of the lake. While they were going to the other side of the lake, he sent the people away. He went up to a hill to pray. This is Jesus trying to get away from the press of the people to pray. You know, Jesus always did this. He set the example for us. Go away from the people to pray. Alone with God. Retirement with God. He did this often. This was often his policy. It was often his practice. Because you see, people, his private praying and his conquest of Satan were the results of his getting to be with God. Yes, he was God's son, but it was in the prayer that he needed to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was God. He was going to be the Messiah. Yes, he was God in flesh. But still, Jesus had to have the anointing upon him. He had to have times to pray by himself. He wasn't super God. He was just God incarnate. And so he went aside and prayed. Many times in the Word of God, it said he went aside and he prayed. Well, why did he pray? He prayed because he needed to pray. Even though he was Jesus, he needed to pray. Because it was in the praying that he received the endowment of the Holy Spirit for his power. It was in the praying that he received the anointing. And he received this fresh anointings of the Holy Spirit for his daily work. And he used the same method to try to get to us to realize that if we do it, then we too can do works greater than he did. The same works that he did. And he did the works because of the anointing that came through prayer. We can today too, if we will go aside like Jesus did. He sent the people away, he sent the disciples away, and then he went up the mountain to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. And by this time, I'm reading Matthew 14:24, the boat was far out in the lake, tossed about by the waves, because the wind was blowing against it. These disciples were in the boat. The wind was against them. And this shows the perception of Jesus. It says in verse 26, he saw them. This doesn't mean he just saw them with his natural eye. It means he saw them, he perceived them, he saw the difficulty that these guys were in because the wind was contrary to the boat that they were in. And we're going to see in a few moments that we all are rowing in a boat. And the wind is contrary to us oftentimes by the world and by Satan. Jesus walks on the water. They think it's a ghost and they scream out with fear. And he says, have courage, don't be afraid. You know, I think that sometimes we might get afraid while we're rowing in our boat. We all are rowing in boats. The boats are different, but the boats are all here. And the boats that we row in are boats that sometimes get water into them because the world is just heaping water in our boat. If you've ever been in a storm when water was coming into the boat literally, you know the difficulty and you know the problems and you know the fear that can grip your heart. I've been in such cases and maybe you have too. Jesus saw the disciples rowing in their boat. Today Jesus sees we who are the disciples rowing in our boat. And we row in different boats at the same time. We can row in the boat of a marital problem. We can row in the boat of a financial difficulty. We can row in a boat of an educational boat. We can row, or the campus situation. We can row in a boat job-wise. We can row in a boat, certainly our spiritual condition. And so we have these different boats that we row in. And in some of the boats, some of the times, it's just really clear sailing. It is great. But in some cases, the wind is contrary to our direction. And in this case, these disciples were rowing. I want you to see our rowing. It says they were straining at the oars. They were straining at the oars. If we have 12 disciples in a boat, if you have 6 on each side, and you can get the mental picture, they're straining at the oars. In their own strength, they're trying to get across the lake. How wide is the lake? It's only 4 miles. And John says that they had already rowed 3.5 miles. That's a long way to row. It's at nighttime, the middle of the night, the fourth watch, between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. Between 3 and 6 in the morning. Now remember, they had been set on their departure in the evening time. Jesus sends a group away who had been fed and who had seen miracles. He had preached to them. He sends his disciples away to go to the other side of the lake. He goes up to pray. He comes down. He walks probably around the water, and he sees that they're still out there. They should have been where they were going, but they weren't, because it says the wind was contrary. That means it was blowing against them. And so here it says they were strained at the oar. Matthew says they were buffeted by the waves. Mark says straining at the oar. In their own strength, they had gone 3.5 miles, and I can just see those guys straining with all of their might against the oar, and they're not getting anywhere. When I was in college, I loved to fish, and under my bed, I kept a very small motor. I think it was a 2.5 or 5 horsepower motor. And on the weekends, sometimes during the week, I'd even cut class. I would go out and use my little motor, put it in the boat, rent a boat for a couple of dollars, and go out to the lake. One day, I should not have done this for several reasons. There were other things I should have been doing. Secondly, the beautiful sunny sky had quickly changed to gray. And thirdly, I shouldn't have gone by myself. And fourthly, I should have known my motor wasn't operating properly. But I was in the lake, way out in the lake. And it started raining. And the wind started blowing. And so I said, putting two to two together, it's time to go home, Neil. And so I pulled and did not hear the putter, putter, putter. I heard nothing. And I pulled it again. Well, that's nothing. It's happened before. I pulled again and again and again. And I got tired straining at the cord. The motor would not start. I knew you just can't do this forever. Get the paddle and start paddling. One paddle. And I can remember it as if it happened just yesterday. With one paddle, trying to navigate this probably 10 or 12 foot skiff against the wind. And when I read this scripture, I thought about that. I was straining at the paddle. I was straining. And I remember thinking I was making headway. Boy, I'm getting closer to the dock. And that tree just stayed right over there, because the wind was contrary to what I was trying to do. Today, we are rowing in boats. In the financial difficulty, in the marital problem, in the job situation, on the campus, or wherever and whatever, even in our spiritual life as well in the church. And we are rowing, and the wind is against us. But praise God, we need not do it in our own strength, because Jesus is seeing us. He saw the disciples. Oh, those guys are out there. They need help. And so what happens? With the wind against us, the wind against them, which I equate to the world, the wind of the world, Satan with his purpose to destroy. The men are practically drowning. Water is coming into the boat. It's about to sink. The wind's against them. But here comes Jesus walking on the water. Here comes Jesus, walking on the water. Do you know that this is the same place in the Word of God where Peter walked on the water? Put the two together now, because you knew they both walked on the water. Well, here's the case. Here comes Jesus walking on the water. Wow. Proving His power. Proving that He's the encourager. So when we are in our boat rowing in this horrible mental anguish, or in this physical pain, or when we are rowing the boat in anything that is a situation in which we find ourselves, those are the boats that we row in. Here comes Jesus. These guys did not cry out to Him. He saw their need, and He said, I'm going to come to them. And He came as the great encourager, and the Scripture says that He said, don't be afraid, it's Me. Well, the reason they were afraid was because they thought it was a ghost. In fact, that's the Scripture that is used. They thought it was a ghost. The word is found only here in the Word of God. They call it an apparition. They call it a phantom. Only place in the Word of God where it's listed. When sailors would see this, history tells us they knew that disaster was ahead of them. Here they saw Jesus walking on the water, and they said, it's a ghost! Jesus said, hey, it's Me. Don't be afraid. In the water, splashing against our face, He says, don't be afraid, it's Me. I'll get you through this. I'll get you through this. I'll get you through it. They got through it. As a matter of fact, in John 6:21, it says that the boat got all the way to the land instantly. And the other place in the Word of God is like this, is when Philip was carried bodily through the air. Philip, in Acts chapter 8, was carried bodily through the air. So this ship was brought, because it says immediately, when Jesus gets into the boat, immediately they're at the land. You get Jesus in your boat, and immediately something is going to start happening. We've got our rowing, we've got the wind against us, but here comes Jesus, who is the encourager, and He says, don't be afraid. I want you to note, in Mark's Gospel, let's go back to Mark chapter 6, because I like that rendering of it. Mark chapter 6. Verse 45 following is the context. They saw Him walking on the water. He was going to pass them by, showing that He was walking faster than they were rowing the boat. They were scared. They cried out, and He said, take courage. Don't be afraid. And look here, people, verse 51. Then He got into the boat with them, and what happened? The wind died down. Jesus gets in your boat. The wind dies down. Now, you're still in the boat, but you got Jesus with you, and the wind died down. Well, Matthew claims that Peter wanted to walk on the water, and we know the story about Peter. However, it says that he got a little afraid, and so he cried out, and he started sinking. I want you to notice this very carefully, people, that Peter walked on the water because of his faith in God. He walked on the water just like Jesus walked on the water. Jesus walked on the water proving His power over natural laws. We all know that you don't walk on water. We all know that if you walk out on the ocean or on the swimming pool water, you're going to sink. That's a natural law. But Jesus proved His power over the natural law. And what got Him over the natural law was one word. And remember this. Anointing. The anointing of the Holy Spirit got Him over the natural law. Jesus never claimed any power in Himself. He never claimed any power within Himself. He always attributed what He did to the Holy Spirit upon Him. And this is proven by what Peter did. Peter walked on the water. Was Peter the Son of God? No. How did Peter walk on the water? Because Peter exercised just what Jesus exercised. And that was his faith and his belief, and he walked on the water. And this is why the Bible says that we, through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, will do the works that Jesus did. It doesn't mean that we are Christ's. It doesn't mean we're the Son of God, although we are the Son of God by faith in Jesus. But we can see so easily now how we can do what Jesus did. Because the way Jesus did it was through the anointing and through prayer and through belief. And we can do the same thing and claim that promise that the believer will do the great things that Jesus did too. Peter did it. Peter walked on the water. However, his faith began to waver. And when his faith began to waver, he sunk. The word is doubt. This is the only place the word doubt is used here. And it means to waver mentally. It doesn't, or maybe to hesitate. This is what he did. But he waved, he staggered, and his faith was such that he started to doubt, and then he started to sink. But Jesus got into the boat. And the interesting thing is that when he got into the boat, the wind stopped. Let him in. Let him in your boat this morning. And according to the word of God, when he gets in, he'll calm your seas. Mark says he climbed into the boat. John says, when they were willing, Jesus came into the boat. So you see, we could be rowing our boat and don't want anything to do with Jesus. Why not just keep on having fun, straining at the oars? Some people do this. Some people even may enjoy it. But the scripture says, when they were willing, okay, Jesus, come into the boat. Jesus came in, the wind ceased, and a miracle took place. Jesus got in because he saw people inviting him in. He was there to get in because he saw the people were in trouble. His friends were in trouble. The moment for prayer was past. The time for action had come. He forgot about himself. He went to help his friends. And this is the very essence of Jesus. It's the very essence of the cry of humanity today for us to forget about ourselves and go to our friends who have needs. The cry of human need always is first. His friends needed him. And so he must go. And he did. In closing, look at John chapter 6, verse 17. This is the way it might be with some of you today. It may be this way with you. John chapter 6, verse 17. Some translations say, when evening came. Some say, when it got dark. And you know, a lot of us, when we're rowing our boat, everything is dark around us. Why was it dark? Why was it dark? Because Jesus wasn't there. Jesus is the light of the world. And when they were willing to let Jesus come into their boat, he who is light comes, and it wasn't dark anymore. We're rowing in our special boats right now. The waves are against us. The winds are against us. We are straining at the oars, and it is very dark. But we say, Jesus, come on in, come on in. And in verse 21, it says, they willingly took him into the boat. And immediately, after they received him, the boat reached land at the place they were heading for. We'll never reach our destination using any map in the world unless we have Jesus with us in our boat. And in the dark hours when we're trying to row, Jesus comes as the light of the world to help us. He climbed into the boat. Let's pray. Jesus, we are rowing boats this morning, and we need help, and we need you to climb into the boat. For too long, we have tried to row ourselves, and we've gotten nowhere. We've looked to the left, and we've looked to the right, and those fixed landmarks are still there. We may get just a little way ahead, but then the wind blows us back. in certain areas. Jesus, get into our boat. We will willingly ask you to come. Because it is only when you come will the changes occur. Lord, I am aware that there are some people here who are rowing in boats and the boat's almost sinking. The waves are over the sides, the water is filling up the hull, the people are rowing, and they are rowing with your help too, not just their own strength. But they need you, God, to come into the boat. And I thank you, Lord, that right now you are aware of us all in our particular need. You see it. Like the word says, you saw the disciples straining at the oar. You see us, God, in our perplexities. You see us in our dilemmas. You see us in these hard problems that we have to face. You see us in the decisions that we have to make. You see us, Father, straining at the oars. And lovingly, you reach out your arms just for us. And God, we would exercise our faith right now and reach out and embrace you and say, Jesus, come in. We see you walking on the water. Oh, you are powerful. Come in and make our life powerful for you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand, please? And just as an example to exercise our faith in God to give Him something, I'm going to ask if you have, and you won't have to identify, but if you specifically know right now of a boat that you're in, and you really want God to help you, I just want you to lift up your hand and put it back down. And by doing that, you're doing something. You're saying, God, this is me. I've got this boat. I need help. Jesus, the hands that have gone up represents a whole fleet of boats that need help right now. And I'm thankful that you can and you will, according to your word, act upon what we do. Individually, not just as a prayer from the pastor, but individually, we must ask for your help. And you will willingly give it, and you will not turn it away. For you have said, come unto me, all ye who are rowing and straining at the oars of life, and I will give you rest for your souls. And we are claiming that and believing that in Jesus' name. And Father, for those who may want to come forward to have the laying on of hands or to be anointed with oil or to speak about a deliverance, or just to have ministry of any nature by the body of Christ, we're asking that your Spirit prompt them and direct them and allow them to do what they really want to do, unencumbered by what people think or intimidation that comes from the evil one. In Jesus' name, bless now the ministry, Father. Amen. Amen. Greg, would you come forward? And Mike and Bob. And if you would like special prayer, would you come forward and speak to one of these men and they'll take you aside and we can minister to you as the body of believers. Are you here? Do you want the prayer? Would you receive from God through the body? Anyone?